oxygen. I'll face the sunniest side head on. I had a vision of what it might be like to reach. What's up, everybody?
Hi.
It's For Crying Out Loud.
What's up, Kaylin?
Hi, how are you doing?
Kaylin in the studio.
That's
on
right.
The couch next to us.
Trying to get everything dialed in.
Yeah, we're dialing it in. We're doing pretty good.
Let's just right away say hi to our
friends. Oh, fuck them.
Oh, Matt. These are nice people.
Okay.
You're so abusive. What a bully.
Oh, I love them.
What, Sarah Stefano.
That's Maya Paisano.
Leslie. What? Stop. She was our first. I know I tell you this every time. We've never heard from her.
Send her a medal.
She was our first Patreon subscriber. Hi, Leslie. Alicia.
Escalante.
Aaron. Who does? Amy. I can't see. Oh, Kelly.
She's my aunt. I got some aunt stories to take.
Rebecca Lubin. She's so cute. Ishan Rajpay.
He's so hot.
Missy and Gabby.
Those two. Sit down.
Colleen's a skater girl. Katarina, get that molar check. Do not be like me.
Mm-mm.
Hero, you ain't nothing but a sandwich.
But we love you.
Valerie hits it out of the park. Polly, we love your pancakes. Athena, we love that dancing.
Sure do.
Keep those videos coming, Athena. It's so you're so cute. Elizabeth Williamson, you have a lot of kids.
And we love them, every single one of them.
And let Rita put them in her bassinet and rock them.
That's right.
Jacob, you're growly.
You're so growly, but we love you.
Yeah. Sandra, it's not easy being green. Ashley, you're so chic.
Chic as
Sarah
fun.
Dean, love your sausages. Stephanie Stinker Rinker. Krista, you make me want to
stroop.
But Jennifer, get up.
Get up, Jen.
Everybody get up. Okay, what were you going to tell us about your aunt?
So, yeah, I'm an auntie. Mm-hmm. I'm the favorite aunt. So Antony and his wife, Sam, came to California over the weekend to stay with me because they were they were going to Jimmy Kimmel Live's 20th anniversary, which was on Friday night.
Oh, did you go to that?
No. Everybody asked, like, Melissa, Ray, I mean, anybody that's ever worked, I guess I did work for Jimmy Kimmel Live. Technically, I was at ABC at the time.
Now, do you ever watch Jimmy Kimmel?
I watched the clips.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I watch highlights, and I love Jake Bird. You ever see him?
Mm-mm.
No? Oh, he's one of the writers that goes to, like, all the, like, he went to
oh,
a
like
flat
the Trump
earth.
Rallies?
Yeah, and he
oh,
went
yeah,
to, like,
yeah.
a flat
love,
earth. And
love
he,
him.
And he goes to, like, the Britney Spears, like, free Britney! You know, he wears a backpack.
Yes,
like, he's
I
a little,
love him.
Yeah,
I know
he's
exactly
great.
What you're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, yes. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up Jake Bird on Jimmy Kimmel. Just watch his bits. It's hilarious. So that's Tony Barbieri. So, yeah, anybody that's ever worked on the show, James Baby Doll Dixon was there, I guess smoking cigarettes inside for the first time since they banned smoking inside, very defiant. He was smoking up inside the tent. I guess it was tented. It was downtown. Anyway, yeah, so it was Friday night, and both Antony worked there for 8 years, and then Nicholas, the brother, he worked there for 4 or 5 years. He was Jimmy's actual assistant. And Antony started out as a PA and then worked his way as a writer's assistant. And then he was Molly's assistant at the end.
Okay.
But, you know, it's Hollywood's a tough game, Stephanie.
Really?
It's a hustle.
I hadn't heard.
You know, Antony wanted to get married. He wanted to buy a house. He wanted to have kids. And, you know, the salary, not that great.
Right.
You know? So
you have to be an actual writer.
Yes.
To make that money.
Yes, you do. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he learned so much. I remember when he got out of high school and, he was still in high school and he was tossing the football with Jimmy Kimmel because we went to a show and he said, hey, you don't need college. When you get out of high school, you come see me. And Antony did. Antony's always been the one that wanted to work and he has a good work ethic. So anyway, I'll brag a little bit. So he quit. He moved back to Chicago and with his wife, Sam, and he worked with Wendy's ex-husband and got his like Series 7, you know, for the work on the Mercantile Stock Exchange floor. So now, like, he works, like, when you see on the TV all these guys, like, doing the number signs
and screaming.
And that's where he works, like, in the pit.
And has he ever rang the bell?
No, I don't think he's ever rang the bell, but he works.
I ring it all the time.
You do? Ring my bell.
I just ring it. I just go, like, hey, do you guys mind if I just ring it? And they're like, go ahead. Of course, go ahead. You're from FCOL, right?
Right.
And I go, yes.
Yes, you know me. I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, that's one of those things though that's so weird. Like, okay, so you were doing this. It's like you're like, I'm just gonna start doing brain surgery.
Right. I know. Like I asked him, I said, What you know, he goes, he's always wanted things and he is impatient. So he wanted something, he just had to go to work. And he was kind of the middle child that kind of got ignored a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nicholas had the jackpot because he married into a rich family.
Oh.
You know, he works, but Anthony and Sam, like Sam, her mother was a seamstress at CSI for the studios. She was a Teamster member. And then Sam, right out of high school, went and worked with her mom at CSI and she got in the union. So she was making good money. So both of them work. Then they moved to Chicago, so then Sam got pregnant, so she's a stay-home mom now. But anyway, yeah, Anthony learned and took the test, and now he's working for this company. There's only 7 guys there. He showed me a picture, I should show it to you, and of the pit of where he works. And it's just like a sea of 300 people, right? And I'm like, is there one girl? Is there a woman? He goes, there is one woman that works there, just only one in the pit.
Oh, my God.
I know.
I'm sure she's really respected.
She must be a ball buster. No, he did. He said that that she's a legend, kind of like that everybody knows her. And she's like, you know, she's got a husband, kids. She had to like pump her breast. And he was telling this story about, I'm like, she probably got the restroom all to herself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And by the way, he's like, you know how bad it smells in the pit? Like those guys are, it's like a frat party. They're constantly farting and blah, you know.
Oh.
And it's just like they're razzing each other, but he loves it. He's thriving. Like he's doing really good. So but he never gets any time off. So I wanted him to bring the kids, but you know, Wendy was like, no, I don't. I'll watch them. You guys go. So they stayed the first night. They came in Thursday, so they stayed at my house in Lockenia with the kids. And I gave them the bedroom. I gave them a master suite. I let them, you know, I stayed in the office. Fucking Natalia. I mean, my kids are like reptiles because they control the thermostat. Uh-huh. So I'm sleeping in between Sunny and Natalia's bedroom in my office. And it's freezing. And for some reason, the ceiling fan is in that room is connected to Natalia's. So she runs that ceiling fan all night. And I'm like, I'm freezing. Can you turn it down, please? And she's like, all right, I'll put it on low. And I'm like, can we put the heater on? And they're like, both of them. I'm like, oh, God, it was not a good night's sleep. But anyway, it was worth it. So they spent the night. And then I was like the mom, you know, the next day I took them on errands and they're running errands. And she went to go see her family. And then they got ready. And I took her to Dry Bar. She's never been to Dry Bar. And then, like, I'm taking pictures of them before they go out on their date, and they're all dressed up. And then they went to Jimmy's and saw everybody, and they were so happy. Oh, I took them to the pot store out here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's like, there's a beautiful pot store right by my house. I mean, I've been in there once with Gina Kimmel, and it's like, it's just bright. It's like a candy store. It's like everything's on display. They walk you through it. You know, if you can't take what's on the shelf, they'll be like, you know, they put it in your tab and whatever. And he was like loving it. And my house smelled like, you know, a pot marijuana factory after we got. So then we stayed at my condo the rest of the weekend and gave them the bedroom, and it was fun. It was a good time. I had a great time.
It's a two-bedroom, your condo.
My condo's a two-bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gave them the master bedroom. I slept in the other bedroom. And, we had a good time. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we went out with Suzanne the next night. Because Suzanne was like, they used to call her Angelica from the Rugrats because she was like the mean. She was kind of like the strict aunt,
uh-huh.
But she always was with Anthony, and I was always with Nicholas. And Like, yeah. And we went out to dinner on Saturday night. Yeah, and it was fun. And then they left really early Sunday morning. So
didn't they know it been was a whirlwind. MLK Day today, though?
Yeah, he had the day off.
So they didn't want to stay until?
No, I think he wanted one more day to, like, relax and recover. Because he, again, yeah, yeah. And they missed the kids. It was the first time she was away from the baby, their youngest, Wesley. Yeah, so they were.
Wesley's such a cute name.
It's so cute. Little Wesley
Wes. I love that name. Wesley. That's really cute.
Wesley Paradise. And she's Riley Paradise.
Aww.
Their daughter. She's Riley Ritchie after my dad, Richard.
Oh, that's so cute.
Isn't that cute? Riley Ritchie Paradise.
I like the name Riley.
I know. I want to be a paradise again.
Do it.
Can I? I'm going to do it.
Yes.
But then do I have to, like, start all over with Instagram? Like, if I have my handles, Lynette Carolla, can I?
No, you don't have to start all over. You just change your name on Instagram.
You can do that?
Yeah.
You can change the handle? Because I put Lynette, I put it up there, but I didn't, it's at Lynette Carolla.
Well, I think you can change your handle and keep your followers if you, yeah, I don't see why not. I don't know. What do I know about Instagram? If you, do you know, Caitlin?
I would imagine that you'd be able to change it, yeah, unless it's already taken, which.
I'm sure it's not.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody knows, let us know on our page.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what'd you do this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, boy.
I have a ridiculous sneeze. I turned in my book.
Wow. That's a big deal. Congratulations. Yeah.
It's been 6 months because I got the book deal in Stephanie. July. It wasn't that fast.
For me, it was fast.
Yeah. For everybody else, it was like nonstop pressure. I mean, I just feel like for the past 6 months, well, for the first couple of months, I was in denial because it's like, I got all kinds of time, you know. Right. Then I was like working at a clip, like, okay, I'm going to write, you know. I had to write a certain amount of words every single day. And there were days that I wrote all day long. But towards the end, I was rewriting. So I was going through everything and rereading every chapter and rewriting things. But then I still had the epilogue to write.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like very paralyzed by this epilogue. And I think it was because I knew that once I finished the epilogue, it was like done.
Right.
But I was going back and forth and I was like, I don't know. And everything sounded corny. And then I was like, and it kind of has to wrap up the book. It's so hard to write an epilogue because it's like, okay, it's current day.
Right.
Got to wrap up certain things. And I didn't want it to say the same thing I was saying. Anyway, long story short, John was making fun of me because every day I was like, okay, don't talk to me. I have to write the epilogue. And he'd be like, okay, write that epilogue. And then the next day, or he'd go, do you want to watch something on TV? And I'd be like, no, I'm writing my epilogue, John. So unsupportive. Like, and he's like, okay, all right. Yeah, no, write your epilogue. Do you need to write tonight? Do you need to write your epilogue tonight? I'm like, yes. Every single, it was like a week.
Well, do you?
Yeah. And then I go, seriously, today I'm writing my epilogue. And he was like, Stephanie, you've been saying, I thought you already wrote it. I was like, no, because I keep writing stuff. And then anyway, so finally, my due date was today, MLK Day. So yes, I guess it was day before yesterday. I was just like, I'm gonna break this bitch's back today. Mm-hmm. I'm writing it. I don't care. And I was like, I don't know what came over me. I had written all these ideas and notes and started writing it and erased it. Anyway, I sat down and I was like, I am writing it. And I wrote it. And then that was like 2 nights ago. And then I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to go to bed. I think it's almost done. I think I have like 30 minutes left. And then the next morning I got up and I just wrote it and I was like, I think it's done. Then I read it to John. Okay. So you guys are my friends.
Uh-huh.
Not you two, but the audience. Uh-huh. They love me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is, you're in on this first and we'll see if this makes it into the book. But yeah. I wrote this kind of a joke where I said, I was talking about the fact that, so there's like a thing with being sober where when I was first, I basically said, listen, here's the part of the book where I have to tell you how grateful I am to be sober. Like, it was like the best decision I ever made. I'm so happy. And then I was like, I'm really sorry because I know how fucking annoying that is. Like, because when I was early on, when I was sober, there was nothing I hated more than people being like, yeah, I'm just so grateful to be sober. I was like, shut up. Like, you know?
Yeah.
This sucks. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, you're grateful to be sober. Like, uh-huh. all I want is a drink right now, right. you know? And then I said, and then I go on about something else and I go, but little by little, like, my thinking changed, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm one of those grateful assholes. I was, oh, and I said, but, and I would be so mad at them and I would just be like, I hope you get herpes. That was a joke I made. And then I said later, I'm like, and now I'm one of those grateful assholes. I was like, feel free to wish me an STD. Anyway, so that. John read the chapter and he was like, I mean, I just have like a couple of notes. He doesn't like it when I say anything graphic for some reason. Uh-huh. You'd think he would. You guys all know my sense of humor with John. Right. But he's like, I mean, I just think like herpes, like when you say that, it's just so graphic and it just gives me like a visual, like a visual.
But he's your, like a visual. But he's your husband.
Right. I'm like, I know, but I was like, but the point is to be a little shocking, like a little crass.
Right.
Because it's... You want to, how else do you sound mean?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he was like, I don't know. So I said, okay. And then he had given me another note. So I took that note. Anyway, I did not take that note. So that joke is still in the book.
Okay, good.
But right now, I was like, you know, I think he's wrong. I'm going to turn it in.
I like that because the herpes and STDs, you know, like, it's not like you're wishing cancer the eyes. You know what I mean?
It's so specific. Yeah. I hope. Well, the thing is that, like, I used to joke with my friends that I'm like, I hope your house burns down. Like, which is so harsh.
Right.
Herpes is like, listen, like, one out of every three people has it anyway, I'm pretty sure. Right. So, like, chances are you already got it.
Right.
Like, it's not going to be that bad. You're going to be like, oh, already have it.
Yes.
Right? Like, how bad is that, right. really?
It's, that's what I'm saying. So it is, like, kind of shocking.
Take
but
some
it's
Valtrex
not,
and, like, yeah, exactly. And then you're fine. It's just kind of like a funny thing to say.
Yeah, it is.
Then I had another one earlier in the book where I was talking about how I'm so unfiltered. How I was like, you know what? I can't remember how I lead up to the joke, but I'm talking about how I tell everybody everything. And I said, you know, I'm the kind of person, like, I will tell the person sitting next to me at Benihana watching the Onion Volcano that I had an abortion. Uh-huh. That was, and John's like, just so harsh. Like, I don't think so. So I did change that to that I have a UTI.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
I was like, okay, noted. Right, like, okay. I don't want to stop down people's reading to go let me go vote for her, the opponent. Like, I'm not trying to inspire, like, conservatives to vote. Right. I'm just... Right. I'm not trying to get political. I'm just like, okay, so maybe that is, maybe that really is TMI. But I was like, okay. A UTI is very true of me.
That's true too.
I will tell anybody and everybody when I have a
especially
UTI.
At dinner.
Especially at dinner. Yes, but eye cancer? No. I wouldn't wish that. I wouldn't even wish somebody that. You would, because that came to mind.
Because I've been watching The Sopranos.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And Big Pussy said that in the episode and stuck in my head.
Oh, that's so
funny. Wish your mother a cancer of the eyes.
See, somehow it's funny if it's somebody on The Sopranos.
Right.
Like if you're watching Goodfellas and somebody goes, I hope you get eye cancer. Yeah, like exactly. You're going to kind of laugh. Right. Like, oh, those Italians.
Oh, those silly Italians. Those wacky Italians.
Yeah. No, I guess not as funny coming from me. But anyway, so I turned it in and then I was like, oh, I was all nervous. I'm like, okay, I'm hitting send. And I said, hey, like I'm sending this to you a day early because otherwise I'm going to obsess on it, like change stuff and second guess. So here you
go.
That's
good.
Meanwhile, so like very end of December, my editor emailed me. Now I have been the most low maintenance. I called her one time. We had one conversation in 6 months where I was like, I don't know if I should have it. I want to have an intro. Can I have an intro and a prologue? I don't know. And she was like, I don't know either. I guess. I don't know. Write it and like that I'll see.
Right.
And I was like, well, can I send you the intro? And she said, no, just write the book, do what you think, and then send it
to
me.
What a job, by the way.
Talk about it later.
And why don't you get a job like that, Stephanie?
Oh, my God. I would hate it.
Oh.
I don't want to. I barely read books as it is.
I know. That's true. But what a, I mean, like, I don't want to give you any notes or anything. Just send it to me when you're done. And I'll just,
so when I teach writing, this is how I think you'll be able to relate to this. It's like, I don't, if I had to read somebody's whole book and make notes as I go and then think about it after and go, I think this should go here. It's that'd be way too much.
Yeah.
I'm good in short bursts.
Right.
I can edit in my head, but like, so the way my classes work is people write like 700 words.
Mm-hmm.
So to put it into perspective, my book is so far is 86,000 words.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So people write like 700 words and I listen to you read it and I can hear it in my head and then I go, oh, okay, maybe you could put this here, that there, or we should go in this direction, or I need more of this.
Right.
In a very short burst. If I had somebody's whole book to read,
right,
never, that would be the worst job on the planet. I would feel so overwhelmed the second somebody sent me a manuscript.
Right. These well, how many pages is 700? How many, about how many pages is that?
In a Word document, it comes to like 280 something words.
Wow.
280 pages. Wait, 280 pages of a Word
holy
document.
Holy shit. That's how many pages people write as your student?
No. That's how many my book is.
Oh, that's how many
books. That's how many I turned
in. No, but when you said, didn't you say?
Oh, I don't know. It depends if they're double. They don't send it to me. They just read it to me. Okay. I would imagine it's like 4 pages.
Okay.
But double spaced.
Then I was like, remind me, I ain't taking your class.
Yeah, no, it's a couple pages. You know, it's like I work well in bite-sized amounts.
Right.
Which is why I do better writing a book that's that each chapter is about something different as opposed to just like a linear tale of my life.
Right.
I just think that would be so hard.
Yeah. Wow. I got to hand it to you, though. That's great.
Yeah.
How many people you know write books, you know? Like, that's a great,
this is my sixth book.
Yeah.
But here's what I was going to say. So this editor contacted me.
I can't wait till you start doing press. You're going to go on Katie Couric?
This is it. Yeah, Katie Couric. I told you there's a part of my book where I badmouth her. I told you that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you, when is it supposed to come out?
Not for another year.
2024?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Why does it take so long?
I don't know. Like traditional publishing takes a long time because they want it. They need to, they have all, it's so corporate. So they have like a whole sales department. So first they have to like decide what your title is going to be. Like my title is, I think, good, but they have to run it by the sales team, has to go workshop that, run it up the flagpole, see who salutes, you know, see if they think they could sell that title. Then it's like, then it goes through a legal edit. Like I'll have a lawyer calling me going, hey, does this person named Landry, are they okay with you? And then I'm going to go, yes, I sent that chapter to my friend, by the way. I wrote a whole chapter about my friend that I was like, did I tell you about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That I was so afraid he was going to say no, but.
Yeah. But you never told, I don't think you told us what he said. You said you sent it.
Oh, and I didn't tell you that he wrote me back and he loved it? Did I tell you that
didn't
part?
Didn't he say like, well, at least you asked me on like, was it like
Margaret maybe.
Cho, so that's or? When I first, that's when I first sent it to him. Yes.
Yeah,
and he
so
was
no,
like,
yeah,
thank you for asking us. Because Margaret Cho did not ask me before she wrote about me in her book. Mm-hmm. But then I was nervous because I did say a lot of like personal. Right. I said that we smoked heroin, which was like, yeah. So anyway, he wrote me back. So I didn't tell you the aftermath.
Mm-mm.
So I got an email from him and he was raving. It was the nicest email. He was like, oh my God, this is hilarious. I was laughing so hard. I love your writing. Your voice is so strong, like so, so nice. And then the best part was that he goes, you should change my name to like my name. You should call me.
Really?
His last name is Landry. He's like, you should call me Landry because my friends are going to get a kick out of this. And I was
now
like,
now he wants to be like, you know, a little celebrity part of your book.
So I had changed his name to Murph. And he goes, Murph is a little on the nose because he's Irish.
Okay.
He's like, oh, a little on the nose. So just call me by my regular name. So I was like, okay. So anyway, now when they ask me, you know, this person, I'm going to say, already sent him the chapter and he's okay with it. Everybody else in the book, their name has changed.
Yeah. Am I in the book? No. It's all right. I'm kidding.
A lot of it has to do with before I got sober.
Yeah.
You know what we should do? We should take a quick break. And we're back. Anyway. This was like, so I sent it. So my editor had told me, hey, I'm going to be going on a vacation. Do you need anything from me? And this is how corporate people talk. She said, hi, no actionable items right now. That's corporate speak for nothing I need you to do.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Like, what, my lawyer?
I know.
No actionable items. But I'm just letting you know, I'm going to be on vacation like through the holidays. Maybe she was like, this was like December 23rd. Mm-hmm. She goes, I'll be back right after Jan 1. And I was like, yeah, okay, no, I'm good. Like, I'm going to get it into you in time and everything. She goes, oh, great. Can't wait to read it. So I send her the manuscript yesterday and I'm like, hey, it's a day early, blah, blah, blah. I get an automated email back saying, I'm out of the office. I get an out of the office response. Right. I'm not going to be back until January 23rd.
Hey, I was like, what the bitch?
If I had all this extra time, I had an extra week.
Job.
I know. I could have been not freaking out about that. Now I'm glad it's done.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it was like,
yeah,
I was missing a lot of TV time.
Yes.
Like, trying to hurry this thing
up. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
Not to change the subject, but one of the things that I had started doing, which was watching The Bear.
Yes, oh. Love The Bear.
Is it good?
So good.
Really?
Love The Bear.
Well, what so is good. It about, what, where is it and what is it about? I mean, I've heard about it, but I just hear it's good.
It's about a guy, and I forgot, I don't need to know the actor.
Yeah, I don't even know his name either. He was in Shameless. Yeah. And
he was in Shameless.
He's okay. Like a Michelin star chef or works in Michelin star restaurants, mm-hmm. and his brother who runs a like Chicago beef sandwich place, like dumpy place in Chicago, dies and then leaves him the restaurant. So he has to go make
Chicago. I don't know if he leaves him the restaurant, but he feels like he has to come in and save it.
Yes, exactly.
So he's a great chef and he's got to go.
He's a world-class chef who's now working in the back of a Chicago beef place with a bunch of degenerates.
Oh,
yeah, and there's a guy who plays who is supposedly like his cousin, but it's not even really his cousin. It's his brother's best friend, mm-hmm. who's just a really funny character. He's just like bitter and like an asshole and like just mean
so is
to
it,
everybody.
It's a funny show. It's a comedy.
No, it's not really a comedy, but it's not. No, it's serious.
It is.
It's a drama, but it's just so good, and all of the characters are so well acted, and they're so interesting and deep, and like it's like watching a movie, right?
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's funny in its characters,
right? Right.
Like, yeah, it has funny characters.
Yeah, the humor comes from, like you said, like the cousin and him just always rolling his eyes at everybody.
Yeah, there are definitely some jokes now that I think about it.
It's fun.
Well, like
it's
the Sopranos would have a little jokes here and there. Yeah.
Yeah, like one of the episodes, the guy, the chef, and his cousin, let's call him his cousin, have to go work a kid's birthday party for their friend, and like making hot dogs. And then there's like little jokes, like they don't bring any the cousin, the asshole, doesn't bring any ketchup, and our chef guy's like, well, where's the ketchup? And he's like,
you don't put ketchup on.
What kind of an asshole puts ketchup on a hot dog? And he's like, kids, it's a kid's birthday party.
Right.
Like,
right.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, oh, it's on Hulu?
Yeah.
Okay. I got to watch it because I was looking for stuff. So now I'm like kind of watching The Sopranos in between watching like the Dateline Idaho murders. Did you see that?
I listened to it. Oh, no. The 2 hour. Was it good?
It was so good. I mean,
it
was
good
really,
is a relative
term. I know. It was really interesting. And then I watched the 2020 one, and I was thinking it would be like the same kind of info, and it pretty much was, but there was also different, a little bit different. But I'm just like, I'm following that case now. It's crazy. It's so sad. But what I want to know is why? Like, why did he do it?
I think because he was a serial killer getting started, don't you think?
Yeah. That's what I thought. Then there was like somebody on one of the shows was commenting, and it seemed like his mission was to get, because then why leave the other two roommates? But it seemed to this guy that the mission was to go to the third floor and get one of those girls on the third floor. And what happened was he ran in on the second floor.
What happened?
That's what the FBI guy said. Sit down, tell me what happened.
What happened was
the boyfriend, who was a triplet, by the way. Hold on. Yes. So he would have been the biggest threat to this guy, and he thinks that he ran into this guy and he killed him first, and then he had to kill the girlfriend of her so that then he could get to the third floor. So maybe he was stalking one of the girls. I don't know. Or maybe he was a serial killer.
But why? But if he was just simply stalking her, I don't know. There were all these things that I vaguely remember about his personality being mm-hmm. like, you know, I mean, he's in criminal justice. Yes. And wasn't he telling somebody that he could commit a crime and get away with it?
I didn't hear that, but he was studying criminal justice. He had a PhD, was grading students' papers, and he was very critical with their papers. And then after the murder, he was just giving everybody 100%, 100%, 100%. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because he probably couldn't focus and he was like, they said he looked just disheveled and I think that he was probably seeing if he could commit a crime. Yeah, because he put that Reddit thing out. You've heard about the Reddit page he put out?
Yes.
Asking, you know, he was doing a survey if you were going to commit a crime. How'd you pick your victims?
Why I'm saying he's a serial killer. He was like asking about the ways that people murder people.
Right, right.
Like if you're just stalking someone, I don't feel like you're
right.
plotting.
But then, so that's what I thought then. But then they said that his phone was picked up around the house, like all the way back in August, and like a whole bunch of times, like a handful of times he was around that house and like he was stalking, he was watching it so much so that his Wi-Fi got connected to their Wi-Fi at some point. Oh, isn't that weird. Creepy? It's so sad. And not a murder in that town in 7 years.
Wow.
Like it's just bizarre.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a crazy story. I just feel a little overwhelmed with, I'm like, oh, I can't. There's so much content about it.
Didn't he drive across multiple states?
Yes. So.
So how did he find the place and then like.
Well, okay, so he was going to Washington University and Idaho, which it was only a 30-minute drive to that side of it. So their university was only a 30-minute drive from where he was working as an assistant, whatever, you know. People say that the students would go back and forth to, you know, if they wanted a nice restaurant, they'd go to the Idaho town or if they want whatever. So there's
so
a lot
wasn't
of cross.
That far.
Wasn't that far. However, his dad at Christmas time flew to, because they busted, so his parents' house is like in the Poconos in Pennsylvania. So his dad flew to Washington State and they took a road trip driving back at Christmas time. By the way, he's a shitty driver. He got pulled over twice within like, you know, a couple hours because he was following behind too close to people, and they got him on the video of it. See, that's the thing you don't see on the podcast. They show that they show him like when they pull over the cops, you know, camera, body cam.
Oh, you can see him?
Yeah. And the second time he got pulled over.
This was before the murder, right?
No, this was after the murder.
Oh.
The murders were in November. This was at the end of right after Christmas or right before Christmas. So what I was watching for is they pulled him over the first time and he's like, yeah, you're going too close. He gives him his license and then pulls him over again, and the second time, I would have been shit. If it was me, I would have thought, oh my God, they must know it was like this. So getting pulled over a second time, he might have thought like, oh my God, they're onto me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because the first cop got his information or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. And that he knew they were looking for a white Elante or whatever, Hyundai, that he knew because it was put out there. Oh, and I think on Dateline, he had a Twitter page that was anonymous talking about the murders and like wanting because he left his sheath behind with his DNA on it.
Right.
So people were like I think he was fishing to figure out was the sheath left behind, something like that. And he was like arguing with people like, you know, like because they're like, what dumbass is going to leave that behind or something, you know? And he's just like arguing like, you know, well, fucking it takes a lot to fucking kill four people.
How did they find out that was his Twitter? Because they probably took his computer.
We don't know for sure, but you know Keith Morrison. He's like, and then there was the, you know, the online chatter about trying to solve, all the people trying to solve the case. And so they don't know for sure if it was him, but they brought it up on Dateline.
Wow.
Yeah.
This guy's going away for a long time.
Yes.
A long, long time.
Long, long time.
Stephen, I thought we were friends.
I thought we was friends.
I want to hear the interrogation.
I know. I do too. I want to see that.
Has he admitted it?
No, he says he's innocent and he's looking forward to being exonerated.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will.
Right. I mean, they were talking about, like, how is he, what's his defense? You know what I mean? Because they got his DNA. Like, what do you do? Like,
I got to say, I am a little bit addicted to the court podcasts.
Me too.
Remember we had Jillian from Court Junkie on our show once? I love that show. Remember how it was suggested to us and I was like, well, I already listened to that show. Yep. Like, I'm already really into that show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've listened to every Court Junkie episode at least twice.
Love it. You know what you should, well, I know you like to listen, but I found on, I think it's on Hulu. There's one of the reporters, I think it's a Dateline, I don't know, it's called On Trial or something. And it is basically focuses each episode is the person that's being tried for murder gets up on the stand. And it's because they never do. So each episode, some of them you've already heard. Like I was like, oh, yeah, I saw this guy on Dateline. I know his story. So they get him up on the stand and then they show the cross-examination. It's really good. It's only like 45 minutes episodes, but.
Oh, good. I'm going
like
to find that.
On Trial or something. And the guy that hosts it, you've seen him on Dateline. Like I think it's Dateline. I don't know. One of those or it's 2020. I don't know. They're all kind of the same, but.
Well, I'm just newly back on Hulu because we. Because
you couldn't figure out your
back when we changed accounts from. We had DirecTV and then we have now DirecTV Go or, you know, the online streaming DirecTV. So, yeah. So we had somehow got logged out of our Hulu and couldn't get logged back in. But I think I might have told you this, LB. So this, you guys, I am in. What is more than the corner office? I'm in the penthouse suite. Okay. I'm in the penthouse suite with my 18-year-old.
Yeah.
First of all, she never asked me for money ever because she has a J-O-B. Gotta have a J-O-B if you want to be with me. Isn't that the SOS band?
I don't know, but I only heard it because Eddie Murphy would sing it.
Oh, yeah. So Elby's got that J-O-B, mm-hmm. makes all that money. And she does things like signs up for things like she signed up for Hulu Plus, I guess, whatever it's called, where you don't have to watch commercials.
Right.
No ads.
Right.
I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Miss High and Mighty.
Yeah.
So she has that. Plus she signed up for like Disney Plus, you know, and then shared the password with the kids. Like, I don't care. I don't really need the Disney Plus. I'm not watching Dancing with the Stars, but whatever. But I was like, I got to get that Hulu. And then I was asking her for it. She was like, I don't know. Like, she was logged in, but she was going to have to change her she couldn't find her password. So she was like, I'm going to have to change my password. So then I became like the daughter. I was like, LB, like I was going to her room. I was like, can you please change your password? Because Dad and I really want to watch some shows.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, Mom, I will. I have to go to work
right
now.
That's so funny. Good. That's
total
awesome.
Opposite.
That's
I was like, LB, seriously, like I don't want to have to like sign up for Hulu like because this seems like such a waste. Like you have an account.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. So she was like, okay. So she redid her password and then she came into our room. She was like, give me your remote. She went onto our thing. She was like, let me make you guys profiles. So it was
that.
So she has her profile and then it's like S and J, like Stefan, mom and dad have their own profile so that we're not busy in her profile.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So immediately that's when we started watching The Bear. I was like, oh, let me have this Hulu.
That's awesome.
I got Hulu.
How many seasons is it?
Just one.
Okay.
But there's going to be a season two.
There's going to be a season two, yeah.
They're making
How many episodes?
Probably like eight.
Eight. There's eight. Okay. Now, the lead guy who plays the bear, he is so cute, Lynette.
Oh, I can't wait.
Really cute, and he reminds me a lot of my ex-boyfriend
that
I lived with. Yes. The only other person that I lived with besides John that I wanted to marry who broke up with me and moved to Italy. Remember that guy?
Yes, I love that story. I love that. That's the best story.
And he was like, yeah, I mean, I really love you, but I'm just not ready to get married. And turns out that asshole is probably cheating on me. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming he was cheating on me because I heard a message on the voicemail. I got into the voicemail and there was some girl. Hi, Brad. You know, some Sharmuta was like, supposed to meet up with him. And anyway, one time he didn't come home like almost all night. And he was like, I was with my friend. My friend was having relationship problems. And we went to Denny's and we were drinking coffee. And I just didn't call you.
Yeah, he's with his guma.
Exactly. Yes. So anyway, that guy. But I always thought he was so, so cute.
Right.
He's really cute. Mm-hmm. This guy looks just like him.
Really?
Totally looks like him, except for, so when I dated him, we were like 27, mm-hmm. and this guy's 31.
On the show,
his age, the mm-hmm. actor is 31 years old. Right. So it's like very close to, I mean, that was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Right, right.
More than 20 years ago.
Right.
If we're keeping it real, it was more than 20 years ago. My point is, I could totally be his mom and not some teen mom.
Right.
Like a normal aged mom.
Yes.
Like,
and that could be your son.
They would have a baby at a regular age that you would have kids. Nobody would blink an eye.
Right. Right.
And that's just makes me feel dirty though.
Are you kidding? Mind of a married woman. Like, of course. I get it.
Yeah.
I would feel the same way.
I don't even want to tell John, like, okay, that's my hall pass. That's going to be my TV boyfriend. Because I feel even dirty about that. Like, I don't even like the idea. Like, why can't I like somebody my own age?
Well, because.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's really cute.
Is he?
Yeah,
I'm going to really watch. Cute. I can't wait to watch. And then I thought about you, but should we take a break?
Let's take another break.
So I thought about you because I after watching the staying up with, you know, waiting for Nick Anthony to come home that night. So I was watching the Dateline and then the 2020. And I'm like, oh, it's like all this murder. Like, I need to cleanse my palate. Mm-hmm. So I went on Netflix and I was like, I kind of want to watch a show that was like, remember Divorce, how much we liked it?
Oh, yeah.
Something like, you know, that's kind of got the serious, but also a little bit of a comedy. So I'm looking through Netflix shows, and it was the category of bingeable television shows, and it was in the category with Ozark and all the other good ones, and it's called Love, and it's by Judd Apatow.
Have you seen the whole thing?
I loved it.
Yeah, it's really good.
It was so good. I watched the first couple episodes, and I was like, this is hilarious. Yeah. This is so my sense of humor type show.
The lead guy, have you seen that show?
No, I haven't.
He looks like a young Howard Stern.
Yes, he's from another thing though that I can't remember what it is, but if you watch it, he's recognizable from another thing.
Yeah, he's like very not nerdy.
Cute.
No,
very nerdy, like no shoulders.
No shoulders. Like, he's like a little boy. He's like a man boy.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a great character.
It's a great character. They're all good characters. The girls are hilarious.
Yeah,
like that one girl that he like meets along the way, like. She's great. It's really good. It's really funny.
I don't remember a ton about it except that he's a set teacher.
Right.
Yeah, yes. Which is just so funny.
I know. He works at the studios.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Except he's a tutor for the underage kids that are on set. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and they're just like not nice to him.
No.
Like, nobody really respects
him. Nobody respects him. So, yeah, I watched the first there like what hooked me was there was the you know, when you go on Netflix, you'll see like a little bit of a teaser of the show. Mm-hmm. There's a guy getting out of the car and she comes up to the car and she goes, "You're sleeping in the car?" And he goes, I just want to be the man that you deserve. She goes, "I deserve a man that sleeps in his car?" It's just so funny. Yeah, it was good. I was watching that. So that kind of cleansed my palate.
Well, now I'm going to need some shows to watch because now I'm going to have time.
Yeah.
Because I was writing all the time.
There's a lot.
You can watch The Patient on Hulu. That one is pretty good. That is Steve Carell. He plays a psychiatrist who gets kidnapped by
his patient,
who's a serial killer. And the serial killer like locks him in his basement and forces him to continue treatment on him. And it's good. Each episode's only like 30-35 minutes, so they go by quick. And yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
The Bear, by the way, each episode is only like 25 minutes. And I hate that. No, but it's really good. It feels longer. Okay. Doesn't it feel longer, Kaylin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish they were longer too.
I know, and there's only eight.
Yeah,
and see, it's done really well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's also there's a ton of documentaries on Netflix. I can't think of that. I'm watching The Sopranos. I think I'm going to watch Mad Men again.
Mad Men, I think, is very hard to find on, like, streaming.
Is it?
Yeah, because I remember Matt Fondelier recently was telling me, like, he and Julie wanted to watch Mad Men, and they could not get it anywhere on streaming. AMC, yeah.
Really?
Maybe they've changed it. Maybe they've put it on a platform since then, but I remember him having a lot of trouble trying to locate Mad Men and watch it.
Now, Matt Wiener.
Yes.
Wiener, right? Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be an asshole, right?
I don't know. I
who is that?
The guy who created Mad Men.
Oh.
Is he? I had no idea.
I think so. I think he's supposed to be pretty difficult.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, has he done anything else since?
I don't know.
Hmm.
It's a good thing we're not like a film and television.
I know.
podcast. We're like, what channel? I don't know. Like, what are you watching? The Sopranos.
I know, right? What are we in the 90s? I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a new podcast that I'm listening to, which I will tell you.
I was on our page. Somebody mentioned a podcast that looked really interesting. Something is wrong or something like that. Or
something was wrong?
Yeah.
I don't love that one.
No?
I'll be honest. Sounded I don't love good. It, but I have a new one that I'm listening to called Imperfect Paradise, which is stories about Los Angeles.
Ooh.
But like one of them is about Sheriff Villanueva.
Yeah.
Villanueva, who's terrible. He's like a terrible guy.
Is
but
he?
Ran as a Democrat sheriff. He was going to like, he's very, very corrupt and kind of crazy.
I see him all the time on some of these docs like that have to.
Yeah.
Do it, like,
he recently lost. Okay. So this is how this came up. I was voting and the one name that I was like, I'm not sure. Like it was for sheriff. And I was like, John goes, who did you vote for? Now I hadn't mailed in my ballot. Okay. If anybody's going to get mad. And I said, I guess I voted for Alex Villanueva. And he was like, what? And I was like, I don't know. His name sounded Hispanic. He's thick. How could he be a sheriff? Like that seems right, like good.
Right? Yeah.
And Sean's like, no, he's terrible. He's like a Nazi. So he had to go. I had to open up my ballot, get it out, and then like cross it out so that one won't have a vote at all. Because I had to just cross out the whole thing so it won't get noted.
Right.
I felt really stupid. So then I found this podcast, and the whole thing is not just about that. Though there's various seasons. There's a really good season on.
And is every episode different?
No, so it's like little serialized, like okay, so season one is about being homeless. It's about the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't listened to all of that one yet. Oh, the second one is about.
So it's the same theme throughout all the
episodes. Each season has its own theme.
I see.
So season three is about Sheriff Villanueva. But season four, you will love, it's about this woman named Guru Jagat.
Okay.
She's a woman who is like went crazy like QAnon.
Ooh.
But it's a podcast about the wellness thing.
Oh.
And she was like she became like a guru who was like cool. Like a cool guru who was really a yogi.
Right.
But who was like, kind of tells it like it is. And she had all these followers. And then she started to like kind of unravel and started believing in the conspiracy theories and QAnon.
Wow.
And like she went kind of like crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And that's
season four. That's the latest season.
Oh.
So there were only, I think there's going to be one more episode of that. So it's not, you only have a couple episodes of that one.
Oh, okay.
Maybe three. I think you get three. You have
What's
three episodes of that. It's called, Imperfect Paradise. And it's your new last name.
It's my new last
your
name.
New old last name.
Oh my God. Imperfect.
Everything old is new again. Kaylin, how was your weekend?
It was nice. It was very relaxing. I mean, it was raining, so we didn't really, you know, when it's raining, we don't really do anything. So we just kind of.
This is what I don't understand, Lynette. How is Kaylin? He's got young kids that are like the age where we were like crying all the time, complaining, where I was like, I'll never make it. And he's like, yeah, it's relaxing. Nice weekend.
You know, I'm a default here. He's not the default here.
Well, we got live-in help because, you know, we live in.
That's true.
Yeah. With my girlfriend's parents. So there's a lot of help going around.
Yeah. That's nice.
But I bet people aren't like on the social media going, fuck Kaylin, he's not even a dad. He doesn't even care for his kids. They have live-in help. I know. She calls herself a mom. His girlfriend thinks she's mothering those kids. Oh, she's got all the help.
All the help. Yeah.
Isn't Kaylin always going to like barbecues, enjoying himself?
Barbecues.
Yeah.
Had Aunt Wendy was stuck with those two kids all weekend, and that's a lot. And she ain't a spring chicken, you know.
How old are their kids?
Riley Ritchie, she's five.
Five.
And then Wesley is like 18 months.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, he can't, he's you know, babbling and walking and pulling everything off tables and, you know.
So he's not relaxed.
No, he's a lot like Sonny. He plays with cars. Car. Okay. He plays with his cars.
That's nice.
But Riley's always like, Nana, can we cook? Can we make bagels? Can we do this? Can we make, you know, she's just like, but she's a good girl too. So, but you know, she was alone, no help all weekend. She didn't want help. Because Anthony was like, you know, his stepdad, who she's getting a divorce, you know, he was like, let him come. And she's like, no, I just rather be by myself. But we were FaceTiming with her, and you know they were having a good time. But she was exhausted.
I mean, you got to those that age.
I know. I'm telling you.
Tell us how old are the kids? Tell us exact ages again.
3 or 4 months and 3 and a half.
Oh my God, they're so close together.
I know.
Yeah.
So but when Elvie was three,
get it over. Yeah,
I was about to give birth to the twins because their birthdays are so. Elby's November 12th. The twins are November 26th. Mm-hmm. So Elby had just turned three when I was giving birth to the twins. Oh my God. Like she was, I'll never forget. John couldn't come to the hospital. Do you remember the story? Because I had gone for a high risk appointment. I had been on hospital bed rest for a couple of weeks. Then they let me go home for Thanksgiving. And then, which was like maybe on the 25th that year, mm-hmm. or whatever. Anyway, the very next day I had to go in, and then the doctor was like, no, you have to give birth to right now.
Really?
It was like emergency. Mm-hmm. They were having negative blood flow from Sadie.
Mm.
I was like, okay, well, I just have to go home and get my stuff. And he was like, no. So this doctor's office was across the street from the hospital.
Uh-huh.
He was like, no. You need to go across to the hospital and check in, and you're having the baby right now. And I was like, well, I can't because my husband's not even here. Like, I can't. So I call John crying, right? I'm like, you have to get over to the hospital. And he was like, okay. Well, Elby freaked out because she could sense emergency. Mm, yeah. So John called my brother, who at the time was living like blocks away.
Yeah.
So my brother and sister-in-law came over. My brother came over like right away. I think my sister-in-law was going to have to meet him. They were going to stay at our house and, anyway, Elby freaked out and was like sitting in our car with my brother. So John just I kept calling him like, where are you?
Right.
First of all, we didn't even have a name for the second baby. Right. I was like, we don't even have a name. You need to get over to the hospital. And he was like, Elby is freaking out. She's screaming and crying. And she was like, no, you can't go. No, don't go, daddy.
Oh, my God.
I know. I'm like, they know their mind. Like, they're not babies. That age is hard. Like, they can't be reasoned with. Nope. I remember thinking, she's a baby. Yes. Just leave. And he's like, you don't understand. And then later, my brother told me the same thing. He said, finally, John was like, I have to go.
Right.
And he was like, Elby was the most pathetic, like just sitting. She wouldn't get out of the car. So somehow they were sitting in the car, in my brother's car. And she was like, just crying and crying and crying and like hyperventilating, crying and just going, no, like, I want my dad. I want my mom. Like, I mean.
Oh my God, Adam. Yeah, that age. That
my brother said it was just a real. Yeah. And when she was two, he and my sister-in-law watched her, and she, again, had like such a mind of her own. Like, was
right,
real hard.
Yeah,
a haul. right. to spend 2 days with her. We went to a wedding and they were like up at 6 a.m. She was like, uh-huh. I want pancakes.
Yes, Riley. Like, yep.
Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law was like, go fuck yourself. Yes. Like, and my brother was like, all right, uh-huh. I'll make you pancakes. What do I do? Right. She was like, make pancakes.
Yes. Yeah, you can't reason with them. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, they got their strong little personalities. And they just, you know, it is tough. It's a hard age.
You can kind of trick them a little bit, though.
Yeah, you can trick them.
Like if, you know, they're in the other room and I need them to come into this room that I'm in. And I'm like, Blake, come here. And she won't come. I just go, oh, hey, look at this.
Exactly. They're so gullible. That's the best.
And they go, what? I go, oh, what was? I don't know. And then they just forget about it after yes. that. There you go.
Always, don't forget the movie trick, which I did with one of my nephews. Is they like he wanted to go to bed. It was Matthew wanted to. We wanted him to go to bed, and he wanted. Can we just watch Finding Nemo? Can we just watch it? And we're like, all right. So we put it on. Watch like a half hour. And Wendy's like, you got to go potty. Let's go potty. She takes him to the bathroom. I fast forward it all the way to like almost like 10 minutes left. Comes back, put it back on. All right. Starts watching it. It's over. And he's like, I'm not going to go to the bathroom next time because I missed the whale. That's the best. Like, I loved it when they were gullible.
Oh my gosh. I remember when LB was little, like five maybe, and she would love to play Candyland. Did I ever tell you about how she mm-hmm. would, she thought she was being a mastermind?
Yes.
Because she would hide the mm-hmm. ice cream sandwich card and she'd set it up so that it was the second card. So she'd let me right. go first and I would take the first card and then whatever, move three spaces. And then she'd be like, oh, it's the ice cream uh-huh. sandwich card. And then, but I was like, bitch, you win. You're going to, but that's perfect. Right. You just right. shortened the game.
Exactly.
Mercifully
yep.
to like two moves. Right. Like, because then she was almost at the end. And then she didn't realize though, because she was yeah. so caught up in like, I win.
Right.
And I was like, you won. Okay.
Game's over. I time know. For bed.
Yeah. yeah. And she didn't really, it didn't occur to her right. that wasn't the fun of it.
Yeah. Sonny used to do that shit too. But then he'd be like, again, let's play again.
Yeah. no. Yeah. Yeah. Hilarious. So your Amy's parents, like, they're pretty good about, like, they like watching them?
Yeah, and it's gotten a lot easier now that I'm, you know, not gone, because, you know, Amy works every day of the week, and now that I don't have to work every day of the week either, like Tuesdays and Thursdays, you know, that's my day. I take Isla to school, I hang out with Blake all day. We usually go to the aquarium, so there's a break for them there.
Yeah,
so that's been a lot better.
Do you also find, like, Lynette and I used to complain about all the time that, like, well, no, because they're not in school. Like, when the kids were in school, a three-day weekend was just, like, such a bummer.
Oh, madon.
Like, yeah. why can't you just be open on all
right.
holidays?
I know.
Like, that's not a holiday to me.
I was afraid of the three-day weekends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, another day of getting up early, and it's only 10 a.m., and now what do we do? Yeah.
Like, oh, my God. Hopefully the 99-cent store is open on right. Christmas. Because, like, you know, you open presents in the morning, and then what?
Then
like,
what?
Still, there's two babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Me, I had three of them, and it was, like, on a Monday that was, like, Martin Luther King Day. Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
I remember writing about that. I was like, this is a long day.
Well, yeah. I remember when they were babies, and they couldn't even walk. The days felt a lot longer, and I was like, oh, yeah, I know what they mean now when they're saying, oh, my God, it's only 10 a.m. already. But now that, you know, Blake's as old as she is and running around, it's fun.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, time flies by now with Blake.
The older they get, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, this has been super fun, and loving our new format. We'll take another picture. We'll put it up
yeah.
Put it on our Instagram. Guys, gotta come follow us.
We should do a story.
We should do a story. I posted a picture on our story last time, but maybe we could do a little video story,
yeah.
and then we'll do a picture just on our feed.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, let's say shout out our $50 patrons. Lynette's got to be laughing at me
because my glasses. She takes her glasses.
Because I can only see far away. I can only see far away. This is how bad my eyes are.
Let me show you, everybody.
Okay, this is. See this? See how close this is? Can't see it. This is how close I have to be able to see it.
Wait, put your glasses back on.
Okay, if my glasses are on.
Now take your glasses.
Forget about
but
it.
But it's funny when you take your glasses off and then you put the
then I
sheet
have to go like this.
3 inches from her face.
Yeah, I have to. Kelly, Wilma, and Frida, we love you. We love your food. And if anybody's in Palm Springs or Palm Desert, Go get some brunch.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, yeah. I'm sending my Gina Kimmel over there.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have such a great menu. They have homemade Pop-Tarts, and they have short eggs Benedict and jalapeno cilantro wings. Oh, my God. The seventh spice sugar encrusted salmon is to die for.
I want breakfast from there.
I know. Also, our friend Ulysses is posting about the Tennessee Resettlement Aid. So it was started by his cousin, who he's super proud of. Mm-hmm. They started a foundation that seeks to fill the gaps in the current resettlement system for refugees in Middle Tennessee. So this is what they do: is they provide culturally appropriate food, they clothes, home goods to new arrivals to Tennessee.
I love that. Yeah,
as well as facilitate access to community resources through partner organizations. It's very cool.
Wow.
Yeah, Ulysses' cousin is the executive director. You can go to TennesseeResettlementAid.org. Or check them out on Facebook. Also, Joseph Collier, he's a private practice Chapter 7 bankruptcy attorney, and he works in L.A. and some surrounding counties, and he has a sliding fee scale. He guarantees a successful discharge of debt. Wow. If you qualify for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, go to Joseph Collier, C-O-L-L-I-E-R, law.com. And let's just do one more. Why not? How about our friend Stacy, who sells Pampered Chef products. A lot of people love Pampered Chef, and if you want to buy some Pampered Chef products, why not do it from somebody who listens to our show?
Exactly.
Stacy.
Support us.
Yeah.
Each other.
Stacy Ross, and it's S-T-A-C-E-Y Ross, and she's on our Facebook page, and she's on our Patreon page. So just, and if you want to be a Pampered Chef consultant, she's offering, you know, do it through her. Yeah.
Nice.
She's offering a $25 gift to anyone who books a Facebook party in December or January. That's cool.
That's nice.
Do that. All right. And also Sergio, mm-hmm. the Instagram account, Pluto the pie.
Saw two posts in the last like 2 days.
The cutest bird ever. He was in a car seat
or something. It's hilarious.
Pluto at Pluto the P-I. And they also want to tell you about Parrots First, which is an organization that rehomes and rescues parrots.
Yeah. Oh, and that's nice.
I know. All right. Thanks, everybody.
We love you guys. Thanks, Kaylin.
You.
You're a parent now.
Don't.
You too, Kaylin.
Yep. Don't F it up.